First of all, I want y'all just to look around. Do me a favor. Pick one person who's not here this morning and reach out to them this week. I don't care if we all, a couple of us pick the same person, that one person will feel appreciated. They may be online and not able to be here due to illness or due to taking care of loved ones, or they just may not be here. But if we reach out to one person this week, I think we can make a difference in somebody's life who may be needing it right now. We be going perfect along with what we're going to talk about this morning. You know, we're lesson number 9. One more lesson to go. What a journey that we've gone through, or what I've gone through, has been incredible. We started out talking about fully surrendering. That's what we needed to do. We went into become spiritually filled, establishing a faith and a trust in God, a walk in God's ways, developing a personal relationship with the Lord, developing a strong prayer life, entering into a life of sacrifice for the Lord. Last week, we talked about seeking the knowledge of God. And this week, we're going to talk about establishing personal relationships with other Christians. There's a couple caveats I got to add to this. You know, you ever had those lessons, you go, no, that's not quite for me, because I'm okay in that area. I'm doing pretty well. I do good in that area. I think this is one of those lessons as a whole here, everybody here, we can kind of say we do well here. But we need to do better. That's what I've learned when I started studying this lesson, that we as God's people, Edgehill does this well. We don't have to work as hard to make ourselves feel a little bit better about relationships with one another here. Because this is a loving congregation. But we need to realize it's something that we need to work on and do better. I've realized that in this lesson. The other caveat that I got to put to this, you know, God's people are stubborn people. Did you hear what I said? God's people are stubborn people. Because we're passionate about what we believe. And so often when we started talking about relationships, and we'll go more into it, we want to take this word that God gives us and beat it over the top of people's head, thinking that if we beat them with the word, that somehow, some way, through osmosis, some form or fashion, it's going to sink in. But we got to realize two things. We got to realize they have free will to choose it. We also got to realize the state that we're in. So often we want to beat people up and say, hey, look what it says right here. And we often have problems in our life. So our approach maybe need to be a little bit different, realizing that we're sinners too. And that in the end of the day, they can choose to take God's word, or they can choose not to take God's word. No matter how hard we beat them up, we'll not change anything. Won't make them believe it, won't make them accept it until they are willing to have that relationship with God. All we can do is present it. And we need to understand that they have the free will, the choice. With also the understanding when we give it to them, they may not take it right now. They may take it later. It may hit them later in life. All in the way that we approach. You know, when you drive down the road, you go by a church building, one that's been built to be a church building. You say, that's a church building right there. It has a sign out front usually, and it has all the everything, the front, back, you can tell it's a church building. But also you know when that church building's been vacant for a while. You can say there's nobody been in that church building in a while. That's the way we are. People should be able to see us from whatever angle we are in life, that we are God's people, because we are the church. But there are times when people walk by us and say, there ain't been nobody in there in a while. Even though we're trying to preach out of that building, but we've been told that there ain't been nobody in that in a while. So when we focus on this part of that relationships. I want us to take those caveats as we go through this lesson, because we're going to jump here and there through this lesson this morning. We're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about this, and we're going to go back over here and talk about this again. But you'll get the point as we come through this lesson. You'll see a theme that keeps coming up as we talk about our relationships with one another. You know, Philippians chapter 1, 3 through 6, if I could put myself in this verse, I would, because this is how I feel about this congregation. But there's some things I want you to get out of this. I thank my God every time remembering you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership, the gospel, from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who begins a good work in you will carry it on to complete until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, Brother Boyd used to call me, and y'all have heard this story before. When I was away from the church, he used to call me every Saturday night. He'd call if I was there or not. He'd talk to Kim or he'd talk to me. He'd call. You know what he didn't come and tell me, hey, brother, you're in sin. You need to go back to church and yell and scream at me. He says, I miss you. He says, I wish I could see you again. And he says, and he'd ask, is it okay if I call again? His approach is what turned me around. His approach on his love and concern is what made me change, not beating me up. And I look at this verse and I remember Brother Boyd, and when I come here and I know how y'all treat me, I pray and thank God every time I have. But you also understand the investment you made in me hopefully will be till the day that Christ comes again. And that's what we are. We are an investment towards one another. We need to realize how precious we are to one another, how much we need one another. And this verse, when I read this verse, when I'm going through my studies and this popped up, it just hit me right across the head. Yes, I am so thankful for the partnership that we have, the love that we have, the approach that this congregation has. Look what it tells us this in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Why do we need that verse? We're Christians. We know to love one another, right? Some of the biggest struggles we have in the church is because of brothers and sisters. It's not because of the people out there. It's because of the conflicts that we bring into here. You'll see scriptures over and over and over telling us this very same thing. It's how we're supposed to love one another and how we approach one another. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. You want to know how to love one another? Look at how Christ loved others. Look at how he took time for those who were sick, for the lame, took time for the sinners and sat down and ate with them. Didn't beat them up. He sat there and fellowshipped one another with them and it showed his love. That's what we need to do as Christians. You think this would be easy because, yeah, we're Christians. That's natural for us. It's not at times, because people know the people we love tends to hurt us the most. Is that not true? So when you offend me, it hurts me more than somebody out there offends me. And it's because I take it wrong. And so often I let that get into my body and stop me from being where I need to be. You know what we're supposed to do? Therefore, in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 tells us, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact you are doing. This is one of those verses I think greatly applies to Edge Hill. Because me being able to be up here, it's happened because of y'all. Because I still struggle with my reading. If I read out loud, I still stumble. I still was very nervous back in the day, and I was thinking about this when I was preparing this sermon and thinking about this verse. When I first come up here, you remember that bottle of water I used to keep with me? Because I was super nervous. Don't think that's not gone away, but y'all have encouraged me knows that I can be relaxed. If I do stumble, y'all encourage me. That's what we need to do for our brothers and sisters. We need to encourage one another. They stumble, we shouldn't be there on the top of them going, all right, brother, here we go again. We have to come with a different approach. Encourage them, lift them up, show them the way. It's so important. I like this picture. I don't know if y'all can see it very well, but look at that one bird looking at the other one. Looks like he's just sitting there yelling at that other bird. And that other bird's just going. So when I saw this picture, I thought it was just perfect. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to whose needs? Their needs. Brothers and sisters, I said it before and I'll tell you again, it's not about us. So often I'm offended. We need to realize we need to build up our brothers and sisters. So we shouldn't have unholy talk coming from us when we're building our brothers and sisters up. We should be talking up to their needs, that it may benefit those who are listening. That one bird yelling at the other bird, I don't think it's benefiting them a whole lot when they're yelling and screaming. And I think that we need to realize that when we approach things. I grew up in the church, and we were passionate about Scripture. So often we forgot how God gave the Scriptures. He gave it by dying on the cross. And we'll talk about that in a little bit more. But we got to be loving to one another. Our approach, I think, growing up in the church was a little off because we were so hard and we were so standing for the truth. We were forgetting the purpose of it. This covers it right here. In Ephesians 4, 2 and 3, it tells us, be completely humbled and gentle, being patient. What? Wait a minute. I got to be completely humbled? They made me mad. They're not doing what they're supposed to be. I'm supposed to be humble. He's the one messing up. Yes. Completely humbled and gentled and being what? Patient. Why? Because definitely people need to be patient with me. Because I have stumbled. I have fallen. Remember, this is my walk that we've been going through these lessons. I can look back and remember that I've stumbled and I have fallen and I have fallen short. So how can I judge somebody else when I've fallen myself? When we turn that approach around and look at ourselves and Michael Jackson said, look at a man in the mirror. When we look at ourselves, so often we see something we don't want to look at because we don't look at the mirror too often, do we? Then our approach to them is totally different because we get humbled by our own experience, by our own sins, by our own struggles. So if we learn that they're not perfect, neither are we, we can make a bigger difference in people's lives within the church. We're not talking about them out there right now. We're talking about people who are in our own congregation, our own church. I've seen churches divide over carpet. I've seen churches divide over simple stuff and break off. So I'm talking about us and our other brothers and sisters that are around us because we're all part of the same family. You can't take that name away. Once you've been baptized and you become a Christian, that name is yours. You can't take it away. You're stuck with. We're family, no matter how you look at it. You stuck with me, I stuck with y'all. And we need to realize that. Bearing with one another in what? Love. Making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's the approach that we need to take. Do every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through peace. It's not a war between us. It's a war between Satan. I mean, that's what we got to understand. That's the battle that we are in with Satan, not with one another. Not with other congregation, not with other brothers and sisters. It's with Satan. And so often we forget. Like I said, I think this is an area that we do well in, but I think it's an area that everybody can improve in. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20 tells us this. My dear brother and sister, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Don't cut our brothers and sisters off, or even those out there that are trying to tell you why they don't believe. Because once you cut them off, you lost them. We need to listen to their concerns and listen to what's bothering them so we can get to the root of what the issue is so we can help them. So we need to be quick to listen. Don't think that, oh, here's the answer. This is the answer. But wait for the timing to give them the answer. Slow to speak and slow to become angry. You know, that's what we do. You don't listen to us as individuals. You don't listen to what I'm trying to say. I get mad. But that's not how we're supposed to handle it. We're supposed to be slow to anger. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So as soon as we get angry at another brother and sister because they're not quite listening to us, we lose the desire of God. And I don't want to lose the desire of God. We need to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger. No matter what the situation is, because once again, I tell you, turn that mirror around. And you'll realize that you're in the same state as your brother and sister is. It may be a different situation, but if you truly look at yourself, you have struggles with sin. And what's sin better than any sin? They're all the same. So they're just struggling in a different area than compared to you. It's like the good old tale that we tell you. Don't judge your brother and sister for a mote that's in their eyes when you got a beam in your own eye. If you turn that mirror around and look at yourself before you approach your brothers and sisters, you'll come across totally different, humbled. You look at this verse, Colossians 3, verses 23, you go, how does this relate to what we're talking about? But let me tell you, work willingness at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Whatever you do, when it comes into a relationship, work as you're working with your relationship with God. Not how people would approach things. People say, get mad, get angry. They hurt you. Get revenge. That's not how God would do it. Perfect example is the woman who was getting ready to get stoned. They caught her in sin. You remember Jesus kneeled down and wrote something in the sand. And they all started to walk away. And what did Jesus tell that woman? Who here condemns you? Not one. They caught her in the sin. Oh, we should have a right to condemn her. But they caught her in sin. And what did Jesus say? Neither do I. Go sin no more. Feel the love and the concern he had for the woman who was getting ready to get stoned. That's where our approach for one another should be. We should have a love that we remember what Jesus wrote, even though we don't know what it is, that it was so powerful and so moving that all those turned around and walked away. That's our approach for one another. I like this picture too. I found a lot of good ones today. I just like the ducks. And then going along with this verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 tells us this. And let us consider how we may stir one another on towards love. Let us consider how we can stir one another up. We're always looking for those opportunities to encourage, to stir people up in love. Not to say, well, let me go over here and find out what else they did wrong. We need to find ways to stir our brothers and sisters up. Because let me tell you, you can rebuke, you can train, you can teach with love. That's what we need to realize, that we can do that. We can meet everything that we need to accomplish. But also remember what the caveat I gave you to it. It's their choice to take it or not. They have a choice to accept God's word or not accept God's word, to believe or not to believe, to change or not to change. But they may not take it then, but they may take it later. You got to understand that. Towards love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So how much more do we need it today? Look around. Look at where we have the amount of people that are sitting in there in their own line. Look around. We're not encouraging as we used to, as a whole, not as individuals. We're not encouraging and telling the good news of Jesus. We need it more so today than we did back then, back in the day. Because I think about when I was doing this lesson, I remember when I first came here, and I'm remembering a lot of these pews were full. It was still the same loving church that it is today. But I look at myself and remember, this is my lesson. It's towards me. I look at myself and I go, where did I miss something? And I remember different people leaving for different reasons. We can all do that. And I was thinking to myself, what could I have done differently to keep them here? You know what I thought about? What's stopping me now? We know who's not here. A lot of us know some people and the reason they're not here anymore. What are we doing to make that difference? With the caveat, remember, all we can do is approach them with love and concern and tell them how we feel. But it's their responsibility to accept, deny, reject, whatever they want to do with it. But our obligation is to show them the love. So we need to reach out to all those people, because some of us know better than others why people are not here no more. We still have that obligation. Especially now, as the days get closer and closer. Because we're running out of time, brothers and sisters. If we don't do it now, then when? If it's not us, then who? We got to look at it, because I think this is where we can better ourselves as a congregation. Reaching out to those who are in need. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 tells us this. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. You know it's called today all day? It never changes. Tomorrow when you wake up, you'll be called today all day. This is how much and often we're supposed to encourage one another all day long, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceit, deceitfulness. You know, the devil tells you, don't worry about it today. That's why I like this verse, because Satan, that's one of his greatest tools. Don't worry about it today. Worry about it tomorrow. Tomorrow's always coming, and it never gets here. Today is here now. So this is what we need to start working on this today. Not tomorrow. So when you leave out of here, if you got somebody's phone number, you got somebody you encourage, you got somebody you can make a difference to, or somebody to check on, call them today. Don't wait till tomorrow, because that'll never get here. In God's wisdom, encourage today. You know where we struggle as Christians? I hate to say it. We struggle with forgiveness. That's what divides our congregation or any congregation in this church is the power of not forgiving. They offended me. They made me mad. They hurt my feelings. Forgiveness is one of the toughest things for brothers and sisters in Christ. It should be easy, but it's not. Because we're so passionate about our love for Christ, sometimes we get mad at one another for different various reasons. But what the Scripture tells us, there's plenty to talk about on that one. Bear with each other and forgive one another. Colossians 3, verse 13. Forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive them as the Lord forgave you. You there, turning that mirror around, back around again, looking at ourselves. Anywhere in this verse, is there a condition for forgiveness? Can they still be mad at you and you still forgive them? Can they still be doing you wrong and you still forgive them? There is no conditions on this. And that's what we got to understand. No matter what our brothers and sisters have done to us in the past, no matter where we're at in life, when it comes to us giving forgiveness to them, there's no conditions. We want to make our own conditions. Well, he did it to me. I didn't do it to him. Is that a condition? There should be no conditions. Look at Mark 11, verses 25 and verse 26. And when ye stand praying, forgive that your Father may forgive you. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive you trespasses. When I really thought about that, I started going back and says, man, have I forgiven everybody? Because I really don't want that other part to come into play. So if I don't forgive everybody who's done me wrong, no matter what it is, no matter how bad it is, no matter what the situation, if I don't forgive them, I'm told my Father will not forgive me, and I don't want to be there on that day. That's how important forgiveness is. That we have a forgiveness for one another than realizing how important it is. You know, this was brought up by Peter in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him, saying, Lord, how often shall my brother and sin against me, and I forgive them? Till seven times seven? Oh, I got a number. I can keep track. That's what Peter was doing. I can keep track. Once I make that mark, I ain't got to forgive him anymore. But Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, until 70 times, but 70 times 7. In other words, there should be no limit. What you think is how often you should forgive it's quadruple that. To the point you forget. You can't count that high and remember those many incidents. So we need to have a forgiving heart that is always there for our brothers and sisters. Remember, with no conditions. This was read earlier, you know, and I was studying it and I said, hey, greatest love has no man than this, than a man that lays down his life for a friend. And I realize what Christ has done for us. So I go back and I said, wait a minute, we got to back up a little bit. You go to 1 John 13 to 15. Let's go back to, just to go back a few verses. I have told you this, starting in verse 11. I have told you this so that that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. So our joys are based on how we love one another. And that makes sense. If you're mad with a brother and sister and they got you angry, there ain't much joy in anger, is there? Our love is based on, the joy is based on our love for one another. Yeah. My commandment, back to verse 12 again, my commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. The greatest love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for a friend. For you are my friend. Wow. If you do my commandments. I do no longer call you your servant, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friend. And everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go bear fruit. Fruit that will last forever. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in his name. Remember that conversation we were having in class earlier? He tells us we can learn to love one another and take care of one another, that very close. The Father will give you whatever you ask in his name. This is my commandment: love each other. You know, everything is based on our love towards one another. If we can't have love for one another, then we're going to struggle as Christians. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 tells us this: humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up. How do we get lifted up? By helping others get lifted up. You know, some of our biggest worries and concerns is in relationships. Some of our biggest anxieties is our relationships with our husbands and wives, our brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters in Christ, because of those issues. We just humble ourselves and start lifting one another up. We can make a huge difference in each other's lives. I want to leave you with this last thought, something that you really need to consider. Wesley, if you don't mind, if somebody comes forward, because you know I feel prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and to have the elders pray over you is such an awesome thing, which they have done for me many times. In 1 Peter 4, verse 8, it tells this: above all, love others deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. I need a lot of sins to be covered. I turned that mirror around in my life as I was doing this study, and we only have one more lesson after this, but I was thinking and reading this verse. I have a multitude of sins to cover. And how do I do that? Love each other deeply. That's how we cover a multitude of sins. You know, our next lesson is, how do we become effective in the church? This is going to kind of roll on over into that lesson, because this is the basis of everything, of how we're effective in any parts of our life, is how we have love for each other, how we humble ourselves. But when I read 1 Peter 4, verse 8, I thought to myself, there is so much I need to cover up in my life and struggles that I've had. And it's all going to be based on how we love one another. I don't know where you're at in life. I know where I'm at. And I know what struggles that I'm having. And I know what I need to better myself on. So I can't speak for you, but I can look at me and say, hey, I know we all struggle. There's not a one in this room that doesn't have some type of struggle or some type of thing that they're going through right now. You don't have to do it by yourself. Christ and God created the church for a purpose and a reason. And you can't do it out there. You can't do it not being here. You have to be here to reap the benefits. I know there's some people who are online who cannot make it. And I'm thankful for us to be able to live stream. But also concerned about it in a little bit, I'll be honest with you. Because I believe it gives people the opportunity to choose not to be here. And if you are one of those this morning, you're online and you just chose not to be here, I'm going to step on your toes. I can't love you through a camera. I can't see how you're doing through a camera. I can see if you are struggling a little bit, like Brother James, I noticed this morning, is having a little bit of a limp. And I can pray about that. I can interact with that. I can't see that when you're way behind that camera. So if you're behind that camera and you could be here this morning, we can't love you the same. I can't put a hug around you like I want to. And I need a hug from you. I need you to encourage me. I need you to see my struggles and say, hey, brother, I'm there with you. We got to be here. That's going to lead into next Sunday. We got to be here to make that difference for one another. I don't know where you're at, but we can do this together. We've got a great godly man who's willing to pray for you, an elder of the church. All you got to do is come now as we stand and sing.